My Daily Bread, a summary of the spiritual life, simplified and arranged for daily reflection and prayer by Anthony J. Payone, S.J. Neil Obstott, Martin J. Healy, Imprimatur, Thomas Edmund Malloy, Archbishop of Brooklyn. The Confraternity of the Precious Blood is privileged to present another in its series for the Catholic Family. The Confraternity has endeavored, during a score of years, to popularize the liturgy, sacred scripture, and theology by placing in the hands of millions throughout the world books as My Sunday Missal, My Daily Psalm Book, Christ and the Gospel, the New Testament, and My Way of Life. The work here presented, My Daily Bread, is a summary of spiritual doctrine so simplified and arranged that everyone can come to a knowledge and practice of the principles of the spiritual life. It is divided into three books which treat respectively of the three ways of the spiritual life. Purification, we must reform that which has been deformed in us by sin. Imitation, we must conform to Christ that which has been reformed. And union, we must transform through Christ that which has been conformed. This book may be read not only with the head but with the heart. We must think and pray. This daily exercise will transform belief into realization, theory into practice. This work has been authored by the Reverend Anthony J. Payone, S.J. May it prove a helpful guide to daily spiritual growth. May it help souls to persevere in the holy resolutions which they make at the time of confession, Holy Communion, missions, retreats, or at any moment of grace. While written primarily for the layman, in the language of the layman, it will prove helpful to the priest and religious. Right Reverend Monsignor Joseph B. Frey, on the Feast of Our Lady, December 8, 1953. Every man dreams, at some time or other, of the better person he might have been or may yet become. This deals with that dream, self-perfection. True, there are different ideals and standards of self-perfection, but only one ideal, one standard alone, will stand the test at the judgment seat of God. The one and only standard of goodness and perfection is the standard which God Himself has given us. We do not have to establish an ideal for ourselves. Our Heavenly Father has already given us one, His Divine Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If, like Mary, the sister of Lazarus, we had the privilege of sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to His precious words of wisdom, peace, and joy, who of us would refuse to do so? Well, we can do so. Our Lord speaks to us far more often than we listen. He is much closer to us than we dream. Within 1 year, we would go far in self-perfection if we placed ourselves at His feet for a few minutes each day and heard Him tell us how to improve our daily lives. In this, we have some of the wonderful thoughts of Christ. Receive them, a chapter a day, as coming directly from Him. Often, between the lines, He will give you a message which is meant for you alone. This will be the grace of that chapter. God's grace will show you how to live a better life today, and it will also bring you the strength to do so. If you use these graces well, God will grant you greater ones. Daily, you will grow more like Christ and less like your old self. Each chapter follows this simple plan. Listen, think, and answer Him. Book 1, The Way of Purification. Though a man may disregard God's holy commandments during his earthly life, he will have to account for them sooner or later. The greatest catastrophe which can befall a man is an unprovided death. At present, he can help himself by admitting God's truth and obeying His law. After death, however, he will no longer be able to save himself. Though he had a lifetime to take advantage of God's love and mercy, he now faces God's justice. the divine justice will reward him according to his earthly life, and he will go to heaven or hell. A spiritual man is one who seeks to make the best use of this brief earthly life. He seeks to live in such a way that he may never sacrifice his greatest success for smaller and less important successes. He strives to place first things first. Therefore, he endeavors to follow God's holy will in all things. The first stage of a successful spiritual life consists of self-purification. Though self-purification is a lifelong task, one in this stage of spiritual development makes it his outstanding daily goal. He strives to rid himself of all serious sins and any predominant venial faults which may lead to mortal sin. In so doing, he lays a foundation for virtues which he will later practice in a more positive manner, and not just as the opposites of his present faults. Part 1. Conversion. A thoughtful glance at human life. Conversion means turning to God, whether it be for the first time or whether it be after a period of sluggish and half-hearted service. In this first part, one must honestly strive to see himself as he really is, weak and selfish, but loved by God and made for the eternal glory and happiness of heaven. Man must be deeply impressed with the true purpose of this earthly life and do everything possible to make that purpose the main goal of his future actions. Chapter 1. Man's Purpose on Earth. Christ says, "My child, the highest goal of thy life is union with me in heaven. Let thy intentions throughout the day be guided by this truth. In all things, be sure to stay on the path which leads to heaven. Do not become too deeply interested in the passing desires and brief enjoyments of this earthly life. I have given thee everything that thou art, and have everything thou have. All things come to thee from me, the supreme good. Whatever comes, accept it, use it, enjoy it, as I wish and as much as I wish. If thou think only of satisfying thyself without considering my approval, thy mind becomes confused and thy will becomes weak. Mistakes and sins will rob thee of peace on earth and of unending happiness in heaven. In all things, therefore, keep thy eyes on me. Happy are those who desire only what I want, trying steadily to do my will. Such people do not let themselves become completely absorbed by their daily activities. They frequently offer their activities to me. They see the brevity of human contentment on earth. Examine thy motives in thy daily words and actions. Find out how thy may please me more, and avoid everything which may draw thee away from me. Now think. I was created for eternal happiness with God in heaven. Everything else must take second place in my life, because if I lose heaven, I will be losing everything. The sure guide to heaven is God's holy will. If I follow it in my daily life, every moment on earth will be a sure step toward the perfect happiness which my heart craves. Pray. My God and loving Father, grant me the wisdom to think, speak, and act each day as you want me to. May I never be such a fool as to disagree with your supreme goodness and wisdom. Nothing on earth can bring me any lasting happiness. Therefore, let me never sin for the sake of anything. I want to live for the perfect happiness for which you created me. Amen." Chapter 2. The Purpose of Created Things. Christ says, "My child, if thou directed thy desires according to my will, thou would learn many a holy lesson from the events of daily life. Nothing is so small and unimportant that it does not in some way reflect my wisdom and goodness. When thou have become as good and unselfish as thou should be, thou wilt find it easy to understand the deeper meaning of the events in thy daily life. An unselfish heart sees much more than what appears on the surface. I created heaven and earth for the service of man. I have even appointed angels to help man. In fact, I myself am continually serving and helping man. If he lives as I desire, he shall one day share with me the perfect happiness of heaven. What art thou doing in return for my numberless favors? Thou shouldst serve me every single day of thy life. Yet thou fail to give me unselfish service even for one single day. I deserve all possible obedience, all possible honor, and eternal praise. To me, thou owe each breath and second of life. Without my continued support, nothing could please nor help thee. All assistance and relief is the work of my hand. Think, if ever I wrote down a list of God's gifts to me, I would have to compose a book. Everything and everybody, whatever I may mention, is a gift of God for a definite purpose. All things, not just some things, are in my life for God's good reasons. In one way or another, they are meant to help me earn the unending happiness and glory of heaven. I must reject any person or thing that leads me away from this goal by sin. All things are to be used wisely, that is, to help me live a good and useful life. By an intelligent use and control of life's daily needs and activities, I prove my sincere desire for God's eternal love and friendship in heaven. Pray. My God, the good things that attract me on earth are only tiny reflections of your perfect attraction and goodness. Let them never turn my thoughts aside from you, the perfect good. I hope to turn away from anybody or anything which draws me away from you. The good things of earth will pass away all too soon, but you will remain forever. I choose you now by a sincere daily battle against sin. Grant me the glorious favor of pleasing you on earth and loving you in heaven. Amen. Chapter 3. A Right Intention in All Things. Christ says, "My child, in all things I want thee to have a right intention." That means that I want thee to have a supernatural purpose in whatever thou think, do, or say. Whether thou seek to avoid hell, diminish your purgatory, or gain heaven, such motives are supernatural, and therefore they are right intentions. True, thou art often unaware of thy motives, but as long as thou art not in mortal sin, and thy action agrees with my law, thou have a right intention. A right intention, however, may have different degrees of perfection. Thus, when thou do something simply to please me, thy intention is higher than if thou think of thy own advantage. Still, whatever be the degree of thy right intention, it always seeks to fulfill my will, and it always brings thee a greater good than any intention which seeks only thy earthly welfare. Regardless of feelings, moods, prejudices, or preferences, strive to maintain a right intention at all times. As soon as thy natural desires contradict my will, check them, as thou would check any other foolish intention. Do not let life's daily events disturb nor affect thee too much. Seek to know my will and to accept it in all things. With this pure intention, thou wilt have a deep interior peace. This is my gift to those who let me govern their lives. A person's intention tends to become dim as he proceeds through his daily occupations. Gradually, he is influenced more by pleasure or self-satisfaction. Therefore, renew thy pure intention at different times during the day. Offer me each activity and avoid anything which might lead thee into sin. Recall thy heavenly goal from time to time. Let there be nothing great, nothing high, nothing pleasant, nothing acceptable to thee unless it helps you to follow my will. Consider all useless consolations and sinful pleasures as so much worthless money. One who truly loves me hates everything which holds him back from me. I alone, the eternal, infinite God, the perfect joy of the soul, can bring true peace and unending happiness to thy heart. Think, where are the pleasures and joys of last year? Gone and forgotten. If they made me worse, I shall find death and judgment a little harder to face. Why do I fail to value things according to God's way of thinking? He wants me to live a sinless and useful life. Even my pleasures should improve me in some way and make me better able to do my work. Heaven is far greater than I can ever deserve. Still, I should try each day to be a little less unworthy of it. Pray, Lord, what you say is true. Grant that I may follow your words in my daily life. Your truth shall teach me, guide me, and protect me. May it deliver me from all evil desires and foolish love. Let me esteem nothing as great or valuable or wonderful, except insofar as it makes me better and more pleasing in your eyes. In this way, I shall never be a slave of this earth, but shall walk daily towards heaven with a holy freedom of heart. Amen. Chapter 4. Holy Indifference. Christ says, My child, let me do with thee as I please. I know what is best for thee. Thou think as a human being, so that thy judgments are often influenced by thy feelings, moods, or prejudices. I take better care of thee than thou could ever take care of thyself. Anyone who does not give me his wholehearted attention and loyalty is taking a great risk. I alone can lead thee to eternal life. Let me do with thee as I please. Whatever I do will always be best for thee. Knowing all things, I know thy most important needs. I want thee to gain the perfection and unending joy of heaven. For this reason, I will place thee at times in a spiritual darkness of doubts and confusion. Then again, I will let thee enjoy the light of my truth and joy. One day, I will console thee, and on the next day, thou may find life hard and sorrowful. But through all these changing conditions, remember that my hand is leading thee on toward heaven. Follow my will in all things. Be just as ready to experience suffering as to have joy, just as glad to be poor and needy as to be well off. If thou prefer my will in all these things, thou wilt be preferring the perfect wisdom and the highest good. Think. God made me for the perfect life of heaven. Whatever he sends me is sent with this goal in view. Some things I can remedy and improve in my daily life, while other things are beyond my control. After I have done my best, I should accept the results of God's will for me. Be it hard or easy, pleasant or disagreeable, I can always be sure that God knows, wants, and permits what is good for my soul. Pray. My God and my all, you made and control all things in my daily life. How can I forget this truth and complain about anything? Grant me the holy dispositions which you mentioned a moment ago. Make me equally willing to receive from your hand the sweet and the bitter, the joy and the sorrow. I thank you now for whatever you decide to send me. Only keep me from sin, and I shall fear neither death nor hell. As long as you do not separate me from you forever, nor blot me out of the book of life, whatever suffering comes to me will not hurt me for long. Grant me the grace to see, love, and prefer your will in everything that happens to me today. Amen. Chapter 5. looking away from God. Christ says, "My child, the person who esteems anything for itself alone, forgetting my goodness and love, will always be small and inferior like the things which he values. Whatever does not help thee to please me has no true value in thy life. Thou should therefore consider it as nothing. Unless thou see me in thy daily life, thou wilt sooner or later become discontented wherever they are and wherever thou turn. If any man tries to enjoy anything as though it were his alone, he will not have a lasting joy nor true freedom. In many ways he will find himself tied down and shut off from me. He who thinks more of earthly things than he does of me will find nothing but insecurity, trouble, and sorrow. He may not realize it, but he is planning his own destruction. Be it ever so little, if anything is loved and valued more than it deserves, it holds thou back from me, the highest good, and it weakens thy soul. The man who looks only for worldly satisfactions becomes blind to the loving presence of his Creator. Think. One who seeks only pleasure, ease, honor, or profit is a worldling, that is, he lives only for this life. Gradually he becomes a slave of his earthly desires, so that he cannot even think of God. He will believe in heaven too late, when he finds its gates forever closed to him. Pray, "My God, I rely on your assistance to keep myself free from the slavery of earthly attractions. I shall use my possessions and daily enjoyments as things which you have lent to me. May I never offend you with these gifts of yours. As yesterday's enjoyments passed away, so too will those of today. I want to live for the greatest good, for you, my God and my all. You alone are best and highest. Only you can satisfy my heart's longings forever. Amen." Chapter 6, The Last and Highest Goal. Christ said, "My child, my true friends refuse to pursue things simply because they are pleasant. They do not want anything which has only temporary value. All their hopes and ambitions aim at the success which I give, the success which will never pass away. They know that too much love for earthly things can draw them away from the only lasting joy and glory. So in all their daily activities, they keep an eye on me and my commandments. Among all the wonders of heaven and earth, there is no one like me. My works are supremely good, and my judgments are perfectly true. By my providence, the universe is ruled. Let others seek whatever else they desire besides me. As for thee, let nothing please thee except me alone, thy hope, thy eternal salvation. Daily look for me above all things. Try to find me in all things. I alone am the giver of true peace and lasting happiness." Think. No tongue can describe the peace which God gives to those who sincerely want his will above all else. Many never find this peace because they lack the trust and courage to live entirely God's way. They try to obey God's law only in part. God loves the man who is honest enough to want first things first. Pray. My loving Savior and merciful God, can I be so foolish as to think that I can find happiness without you? Can sin ever bring me true joy when it separates me from you, the fountain of everlasting joy? No. I hope, with your help, to keep my eyes fixed on you throughout my daily life. I hope to avoid whatever displeases you, and to live as you wish me to live each hour of the day. Your will shows the way to undying peace and happiness. Let me love your will in all things. Amen. Chapter 7, Vanity in Daily Life. Christ says, "My child, vanity is another name for foolish expectation and for useless pretense. Some people expect too much from the good things of this world. Others pretend to be bigger than they really are and try to attract more attention than they deserve. Vanity of vanities, and all is vanity for those who do not love me or refuse to follow my commandments. Nothing is permanent under the sun. When thou love anything for its own sake, and not because it helps thee do my will, thou art a victim of vanity. Death shall take all these things away from thee, and nothing will be left. How wise is the man who appreciates this truth! It is vanity to strive too intently for perishable riches and to fix thy hopes on them. It is vanity also to be over-eager for honors or to consider thyself better than others. It is vanity to follow blindly the desires of the flesh and to want things which will bring a great penalty later on. It is vanity to wish for a long life while caring little about living a good life. It is vanity to give thy entire attention to the present life without thinking of the life which will come later. It is vanity to love only what is speedily passing away, instead of fixing thy heart on heaven, the home of endless joy. Think, if the dead could relive their lives, how differently many of them would value things. Now they know how foolish are many things for which they lived and worked and even sinned. The good, however, now enjoy perfect joy and happiness with God in heaven, because they refuse to offend him for any worldly comfort or glory. My life is my choice. Will I try to please God in all things, or will I prefer some earthly satisfaction against his holy will? Pray. Lord, grant me heavenly wisdom so that I may learn to seek thee above everything else. May I find you, enjoy your presence in my life, and love you above everything else. Let me understand all things according to their importance in your eyes. Grant that I may prudently avoid the flatterer and patiently bear with those who make my life more difficult. It is great wisdom to fight the undue influence of human words and to keep my eyes on your holy law. In this way, I shall go safely onward along the way that leads to eternal life, unending happiness, and the only lasting success. Amen. Chapter 8. The Voice of Conscience. Christ says, "My child, refuse to do wrong for anything in the world. It is better to have the whole world against thee rather than have me against thee. Whoever loses me is losing more than the entire world. Whatever thou love on earth is but a reflection of my goodness. If thou fix thy attention and interest only on worldly things or people, thou wilt soon shut me out and lose my grace. As soon as thou become too interested in worldly pleasure and ease, thy conscience objects. Thou art thy own worst enemy when thou act against thy conscience. The wrong which thou do becomes worse when thou try to excuse thyself or justify thy actions. No man can safely enjoy life except the man whose conscience is clear. The wicked never have true joy nor real interior peace. They may say that they have peace and that they neither expect nor fear any harm from above. Either they are lying or they are fools. My justice will suddenly strike them and put an end to their deeds. They will think differently then. A bad conscience is afraid and disturbed. A good conscience has peace even in time of hardship. The good man's glory lies in the testimony of a good conscience. There is no true freedom nor profitable joy without a clear conscience and a holy fear of all sin. Blessed is the man whose eyes are on me and who keeps his earthly desires within my law. A good life follows my wisdom and brings a deeper appreciation of this earthly existence. Think, God made man intelligent enough to see that he should do what is right, and so the sinner knows that he is a sinner. He knows that his life is not going well. If he wants to cling to his sins, he will try to excuse himself in some way, but he cannot fool himself for long. Either he loses his peace of soul, or he succeeds in dulling his conscience. The man with a dull conscience will find distractions and interest in many things, but he has not the abiding peace of those who live for heaven. Pray. Dear Lord, grant that I may never be insincere in my daily life. Let me always have the strength, the courage, and the loyalty to follow what is right. I do not want to choose any temporary satisfaction or relief which is displeasing to you. Let me live for eternity by always choosing what you want me to choose. May death never catch me by surprise. I hope to live each hour of the day in loyalty to your holy will and at peace with you. Amen. Chapter 9, The Frailty of Human Nature. Christ says, "My child, all human beings are weak. Do not think that thou art stronger than others. Circumstances do not create the weakness of a man. They simply draw it out and show what he really is. Thou must be convinced of this fact. Thy will is weak, and thy blind human desires are strong. It should not be too hard for thee to admit thy frailty. See how often thou art troubled by a small matter. At times, thou resolve to become a better man. Then along comes a small temptation, and away goes thy resolution. Just when thou think thou art safe, when thou least expect it, thou find thyself pushed over by a slight temptation. Even when thou art do not give full consent to it, thy feelings and desires confuse thee. Hateful imaginations rush in on thee and refuse to leave. Before thou can become serious about self-perfection, thou must be convinced of its necessity. See how weak thou art. Thou art often tend toward what is wrong. Thou confess thy sins today, and tomorrow thou commit the same faults again. Thou resolve to be on thy guard, and an hour later thou act as though thou had never made the resolution. Thou art so weak and unsteady. It is only right, then, that thou should humble thyself and refuse to think too highly of thyself. Thou art more inclined to go backward than forward. Thou do not remain in the same state of mind for any length of time, thy moods and attitudes changing with the changing hours of the day. If thou would only turn to me, I can help thee rise above these changing moods. Let thy heart turn to me and find its rest in me." Think. My human nature is like a spirited horse. It must be controlled at every step. It would like to run free and uncontrolled. Therefore, I need not be surprised at my changing feelings and moods. They are not the higher self within me. God will honor me only for what I am trying to be. I would improve much faster if I begged his help more frequently by prayer and the sacraments. Too often, I fail to put up a fight against my unreasonable feelings and blind desires. At other times, I try to fight them alone. Only with God's help can I make any permanent progress. With the knowledge he gives me through his holy church, and with the strength he offers me in his sacraments, I can live a holy life in spite of the restless lower self within me. Pray. Dear Lord, my smallness and weakness are perfectly known to you. Have pity on me. Pull me out of the mud of self so that I may not be stuck in it forever. Consider the labors and trials of my daily life. Please stand by me in my efforts. Strengthen me in my resolutions. I have often failed because I depended on myself alone. Now, however, I shall seek advice and direction as often as I need it. Only in this way can I hope to make progress in true and solid virtue. Make me wise and honest in my daily efforts, so that I may no longer waste valuable time. I hope to become at last the kind of person you want me to be. Without you, I can do nothing. Lord, help me. Amen. Chapter 10, Daily Renewal of Intention. Christ said, "My child, progress in virtue depends on my grace and thy own determination. My grace is always at thy disposal. It is thy determination that wavers and changes. Thy intention would be more firm if thou obtained more grace to help thee. By prayer and sacrifice, and with an increased use of my sacraments, seek more grace. Then thou would find thy will stronger to follow thy intention throughout the day. It is not always enough to make good intentions in the morning. Thou must recall also and renew them during the day. Examine how faithfully thou art following thy intention, and seek to improve thyself in this effort. When thou break thy resolution, begin again. This is far better than abandoning thy good intention altogether. Anyone can make good resolutions, but keeping them and renewing them is the work of a real man. If thou art afraid to start again, or are discouraged by failure, it is because thou do not understand what goes on in thy daily life. Without me, thou can do nothing. Put thy trust in my help. Then confidently do thy best to follow resolutions. If thou fail, renew thy intention at once and begin again. I will judge thee more by thy efforts than by thy failures. It is thy natural pride that makes thee afraid to begin, or discourages thee when thou fail. Pride wants immediate success. Be honest, and thou wilt be humble. Make a sincere effort, but do not be surprised at thy weakness and unexpected failures. Beg for my grace and go on trying. Leave all else in my hands. He who keeps trying to please me will never be abandoned by me. Think, am I brave enough to renew my intentions and good resolutions each day, and to make an honest effort to follow them? God's help will not fail me. My old faults will slowly disappear as I advance in the practice of the opposite virtues. Thus, if I have a fault of laziness, I can best conquer it by seeking more opportunities to perform good deeds. And so will it be with my other faults. Pray, Lord, let me do whatever is necessary to fight my faults and to advance in the opposite virtues. If I need to avoid some person or place, if I have to take some particular step, let me do so without any foolish delay. It is for your glory and for my own greater good. Lord, now I begin, and shall keep on beginning again and again, because I desire to please you. Amen." Chapter 11, An Honest Daily Effort. Christ said, "My child, so often thy thoughts are on unimportant things. Thou do not center them enough on me, nor on thy greatest need. After a few moments of recollection, thy thoughts go right back to useless distractions. As a result, thou art rarely getting a good look at thyself and thy actions. Thou hardly know thy real worth, because thou art take so little notice of thy desires, motives, and intentions. Thou fail to be impressed by thy many faults, because thou art blind to what is going on within thy heart. Thy interior motives are often selfish and corrupt. Consequently, thy external actions are very imperfect and unsatisfactory. From a pure heart come the fruits of a good life, but from an imperfect heart there can only come an imperfect life. External activity proceeds from internal vigor. If thou serve me only by external observances, thou art no true follower of mine. Thou must apply the axe to the root of thy troubles. Learn to control this selfish nature of thine, and thou wilt possess my peace. I daily offer thee my grace for this divine purpose. Do not keep looking at thy weakness. Do not be afraid to make the attempt. Nothing is impossible to me. Fix thine eyes on me, and make a sincere effort to follow my will. Thy difficulties will gradually vanish. Try as thou wilt, thou wilt always make a number of unavoidable mistakes. still with a little violence to thyself, thou wilt gradually be able to serve me with more ease. If thou rooted out of your life some one single fault each year, thou would soon become a perfect man. Nowadays, however, people seem to be at their best at the beginning of their conversion. They consider it a great accomplishment if they do not become worse with time. Think, many admit that they have faults. When, however, any particular fault of theirs is pointed out to them, they will immediately justify themselves. They simply refuse to come face to face with any particular fault of theirs. As a result, they live a lifetime with little progress in virtue. To better my life, I must see and admit what is wrong. Then I can proceed to improve myself. Pray. My God, make me brave enough to face my faults, honest enough to acknowledge them, and strong enough to fight them. I think of many things each day, but so many of my interests are unimportant and useless. Give me the strength and the generosity to make definite resolutions against definite faults. May I never be so selfish as to stop trying to please you more each day. Though my faults seem to continue, still my efforts must remain firm, and I must go on trying to become daily a better man. If I will go on trying, I cannot help becoming better each day. A continued effort will slowly destroy my selfishness, and my faults will gradually weaken and die. Lord, on you I depend for the light and strength for this daily battle. Amen. Chapter 12. Extreme Love of This Life. Christ said, "My child, learn wisdom from the folly of worldly people. See how hard they take their worldly losses. For an earthly gain, men will labor and suffer so much, but their spiritual losses are so easily forgotten. They are often interested in matters which have little or no value, and they negligently pass over matters which are important. Their entire attention is often absorbed by external affairs. Unless thou fight to control thy thoughts, thou too will be enslaved by the passing events of the present moment. How foolish are those who do not realize their miserable condition, making this passing earthly life the only object of their desires. Some cling so to this life that if they could remain here forever, they would not care at all for the kingdom of God. They would prefer to stay on earth, even though they might have to strain and struggle for the bare necessities of this earthly existence. How foolish and blind these people are! They lie buried so deep in earthly things that they enjoy only the pleasures of the senses. In a short while, they will come to the end of their earthly life. Then they will have a bitter realization of the uselessness and nothingness of what they loved. Think, the best way to realize the quickly passing value of earthly attractions is to look at them in the past. Where are the enjoyments of last year? What became of the glory for which I struggled so hard 5 years ago? What's left of last summer's pleasures? Gone, all finished and gone. Do I want to go on living for that kind of happiness, or do I want perfect, all-satisfying, never-ending happiness? Only a fool would hesitate in answering this question. Pray, Lord and Father of all intelligence, may I never be guilty of the supreme folly, the folly of those who believe in living for today's earthly pleasures without bothering about their eternal salvation. In the Gospel, you speak of the man who sat back and prepared to think only of the pleasure and enjoyment of his earthly possessions. To him, you said, "Thou fool, this night will they require thy soul of thee." He died that night, unprepared to face his judge. Let me always face life's greatest fact. I live for heaven or for hell. My earthly life will show what choice I make. My God, give me the strength to live a holy life on earth so that I may receive the eternal reward of heavenly life with you. Amen. At the conclusion of the music, please go to side B.